Okay. Without any further ado, let's invite Pastor Vince. Give him a hand this morning. Oh, kids out. I beg your pardon. Gee, I'm good at this. I'm doing this again next week. I'll be better. I promise. Kids, we release you to Children's Church and the champion leaders that are raising tomorrow's leaders. God bless you this morning. Let's give our leaders a hand. They do a phenomenal job. It's not babysitting. It's not child mining. It's raising leaders for the future in Jesus' name. Come on up, Vince. Praise God. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day to the dads. Yeah, it's quite a few dads, isn't it? I reckon we make more of a fuss about the mums than the dads. I do. I think we make a bigger deal of Mother's Day than Father's Day. And yeah, and I think that's normal. Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, come on, guys. We've got the easy task, haven't we? Yeah, it's the ladies, they're the ones. They deserve a medal. But it is something that we need to savor, you know, being a good father. Being a good father. You know, we had a young adults dinner a few months ago, and the theme that I raised there was, how was your relationship with your father? Well, there might have been about 17 of us there. Only one person had a good relationship with their father. Isn't that terrible? Everybody sort of shared about the difficulties that they'd had and the lack of relationship. And it was kind of like a bit overwhelming. And then there was just one lady who said, well, I had a good father who loved me and who I loved. And I thought, oh, wouldn't every kid love to be able to say that? Yeah, so dads, that's the challenge. And even if your kid now has grown up and he's got kids, try and love him. Make up for all the years you haven't, if that's the case. All right, well, you know, I can't just pass by without saying that we have got a very real thought this morning for a young couple in our church that we love very much, who are getting married at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the Sunshine Coast, and that's Cameron and Paula. And they're not here this morning, obviously. She's getting dressed. But they're ready in their hearts, and that's why some of the young adults are not here this morning, because there'll be a whole packet of them up there, and some of them are going straight up after the service, I think, from what I've understood. So please give them to Cameron and Paula our love. We're sorry that we can't all be there, but we're there with them, and you're representing us. For those of you who are driving up to the Sunshine Coast, please don't forget to do that to them. I also wanted to mention that a couple that we love dearly in our church, who are part of the team of the wider leadership, have gone through a very difficult time this week. I'm speaking about Tim and Megan. I think their surname's pronounced Kukul. Is that right? Megan had a pretty urgent operation on Thursday. I won't go into the details, but it was a serious operation, and the operation went well, and she should be getting home today. That's what we're expecting. Yep. So please keep them in their prayers. The tests now are possible, and she's got to find out the results of that. And based on the results, then there may be significant treatment that will be needed. So please keep them in your prayers. Thank you. One final thing I wanted to share is that you've obviously seen as you've come in the book stand, it's developing. And seeing I was speaking, I thought I'd bring all my books and put them all on one table. So you'll find not just one book, but four books there. I've written four in English and seven in French. I didn't put the French ones out. I don't think there's much point in that. But especially, I'm pretty thrilled about one in particular, and that's the one that's just been released, and that's my autobiography that I've entitled I Will Be With. Many of you have got copies of it already. We're into a period of time where everybody wants a review of their product. Have you noticed that? They're always on to you about feedback on how they went. And reviews are interesting because you get everything that comes back at you. And I had a review come back at me this week about the book. I sent a number of free copies to pastor friends that I have around Australia and overseas as well. And I got an email from a very respected Bible teacher, well-known Australian Bible teacher called Andrew Corbett. Many of you would know him, or some may know him, from Tasmania. I sent him a book and he replied by email, just three words. And coming from him, they do weigh heavily. The three words were brilliant, inspiring, enlightening. And when I saw that, it really touched me that it should make that sort of impact. One of the questions that I had raised in the book and was very interested to develop the thought there. And the end result is that he's invited me to come down to Launceston and do a weekend for them in November. And I just thank God for that, simply because I have not gone looking for it. I haven't gone around with my business card saying, please invite me. On the contrary, Denise and I are quite happy being here Sunday after Sunday. But it is so good because to know that after all these years that we have served God, 46 years now, and we've come back, some thought we'd come back to retire. We haven't. And for what we are, what we represent now, rather than for what we've done in the past, is very meaningful to us. And to see that some of you have come back to us and said how much they've appreciated the book. So there we are. We've got a number of copies of the book. If you want a copy, we make them basically at cost price. In fact, when we realise that we'd be paying tax on it, we're actually losing on them. but they're $15, so that's really a cheap book, isn't it? Okay, that's enough for the ads. Now we get into the main event. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 5. This afternoon, I'll be doing a special Father's Day message at the Chermside Outreach, which is in a Girl Guides Hall at Bradbury Park in Chermside, behind the Bowls Club, for those who might know it. You're most welcome. It's an outreach we started 2 months ago, and it's starting to really build momentum. So if you know people in that area, north side of Brisbane, or you'd like to come along yourself, then I think you'd be very welcomed to support us, and also you'll be blessed. It's only an hour and a quarter service at the utmost, and it starts at 4:30. We finish by 5:45 at the latest. Okay, on Wednesday night, I will be following on from this morning. This morning I'll be speaking on living with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I was thrilled, without knowing it, that Pastor Matt was going to be speaking on the baptism in the Spirit last week. And when he heard that I was thinking of speaking on it, he kind of thought, oh, really? And I said, we won't be saying the same things, I guarantee you that. But I'm pleased to be able to build on the tremendous foundation that we received last Sunday from Pastor Matt's teaching. I realise that this is an important subject that is a sensitive subject, and for some people, because some people have come from a background where they don't believe in the baptism in the Spirit, they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, they're called cessationists, they believe that all that belonged to the apostles, and now all we've got is the Bible and the institution. Well, I don't accept that for a moment. Not at all. They don't accept things like the speaking in tongues and that sort of expression of worship and prayer. And so they come into an environment like ours and that's still sort of sticking to them. And so that's a problem. Other people come and because they've had education or very cerebral and they kind of try to hold on to everything intellectually and they just can't get through. They can't get through. Then there's all those fears that come up and, it's coming from me or I'm copying someone else. And how many fears come up over those sort of subjects when it's the work of the Holy Spirit that needs to come and be part of our lives and our Christian experience. And so Wednesday night, I will be troubleshooting. Wednesday night, I'll be raising some of these issues, sensitive issues relating to the baptism in the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and speaking in tongues. And so if you've got issues, I'll give you an opportunity to ask your questions. I'm prepared to field any question on that subject on Wednesday night. Now, I'll introduce it with a few statements, backed up biblically, obviously. Let me just say this, that Wednesday, on Saturday evenings, Denise and I have a video link up with a number of women who have come out of Islam, ex-Muslim women, in France and in Algeria. And we were confronted with a kind of an anti-charismatic, anti-Holy Spirit position. They feel that they've been tricked and they don't want to be tricked again. And so they brought the curtain down on the Holy Spirit. And one of them was particularly strong about it and influenced one of the others. And so then another of the ladies, she has come into a real understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so she's stuck to her guns. And the one that was hard and fast contacted her this week, the one that really is open to the question. And she said, I have made a big mistake. She said, I'm going to ask your forgiveness for opposing this and for making life difficult for you. She said, because I have just experienced it. I have just experienced it. It's the most wonderful thing. It has given me the joy that I've never had before, even as a Christian. And I'm speaking in tongues and I didn't even believe in it, she said. And so she asked for forgiveness for her hard-heartedness and hard-headedness. So all of these things are thrilling, because God doesn't need us to defend himself. He does it himself very well.
Amen.
Okay. Living with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. Let's read it together. It'll be up on the screen. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy... Come on, say it with me. But be filled with the Holy... Once again, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father.
Amen.
See, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, and the Ephesian church was birthed out of baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit as 12 men came out of the water filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues and prophesying. And yet Paul sort of feels that to this church that was birthed in the spiritual gifts, he's got to say to them, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's important, because he's not saying, read a book about it. He's not saying, talk about it. He's not saying, sing songs about it. He's not saying, do Bible studies about it. He's not saying, pray about it. He's saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Experience it. Let it be something that gets a hold of you. You see, for Paul, he's concerned about Christians who are filled or who are not filled. Because once you start talking about being filled, you can talk also about an experience of not being filled with the Spirit. Do you know that in the New Testament, at the start of the book of Acts, there were more non-Spirit-filled Christians than what there were Spirit-filled? In fact, there were more than four times more. Did you know that? Spirit-filled Christians were an exception in the very early days of the church. They were. On the day of Pentecost, how many people were filled with the Holy Spirit? 120. Carol. Pastor's wife. Preacher. 3,000, she said. How many Christians were around at the resurrection of Jesus? 500, thank you, up the back. So you subtract 120 from 500, you got how many? 380. There were 380 people who were not there when the Holy Spirit came down for whatever reason. And for a time that we don't know, there were those that were filled with the Spirit and those that were not filled with the Spirit. And there were four times more non-Spirit-filled people, or when I say four times more, it's a quarter, more than a quarter of the Christians of the day were filled with the Spirit, or less than a quarter, and more than three quarters were not filled with the Spirit. It's easier being not filled with the Spirit than being filled with the Holy Spirit, folks. Hello? It is. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to dive in. You don't have to experience anything. You just sit back and be a commentator. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're in boots and all, my friend. And if you want to stay on the outer, you can and be a commentator. But you're missing out on something that is part of the essential Christian life. So, the first experience, we heard about it last week. It's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So how does this actually happen, the baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to read our second passage for the morning. It's found in John chapter 7. This is a brilliant passage. I mean, Jesus, I'm glad you said what you said in John 7. I mean, John 7 verses 37 to 39. Let's read it. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, with those whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given pre-Pentecost because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here we have a very clear pathway to being filled with the Holy Spirit. The three things that he said was, if any man is thirsty, let him come and drink. Three steps. Thirsty, come, and drink. Which of the three is the most important? Thirsty, come to Jesus, or drink? I'm hearing all three. Thirsty, come to Jesus, drink. When Denise and I first arrived in France, it was 1986. That was not the first visit, but when we arrived with a single ticket, we weren't coming back to Australia on that trip. I was invited to speak at a youth camp in the Cévennes region in the mountains, and that's a very famous area in France for the Protestants, where they would hold their clandestine meetings and hide from the soldiers of the king who was out to persecute them. So it's great Protestant history in that area. And so we had a wonderful camp that time, and on the Saturday night, they had open fire homemade pizza. They were really good. I mean, I'm not a great pizza man, but I really enjoyed those pizzas. That was something really good. At the end of the night, then we went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had such an incredible thirst. Those pizzas were so salty. I was so thirsty. I was so thirsty. We had a room next to the kitchen. And so, middle of the night, pitch black, I'm into the kitchen. I don't know where I am. I'm disorientated. I'm still a bit asleep. I'm looking for the light switch. I can't find a light switch. I mean, it must be near the door somewhere. You know, and I couldn't find the light switch. And I thought, where are the glasses? I couldn't find the glasses. I thought, I'm not going to look for the light switch and look for the glasses anymore. I found the sink. I turned the tap on and I drank like a dog. Why? Because I was thirsty. You see, when you're thirsty, you drink and you're not too worried about your dignity. You see? You're not too worried about nice crystal glasses. You're not too worried about knowing exactly where you are. The only thing that matters is making sure you've understood that thirst is really, really where it all begins. If you're not thirsty, I'll tell you something, my friend, you will not get anything. If you don't want it, you won't get it. It's as simple as that, because it all begins with being thirsty. Because if you're thirsty, you will come. And if you will come thirsty, then you will drink. And then you will have all that beautiful experience that Jesus spoke about. I remember many years ago in Brisbane, I was ministering at the end of a service, and people had come forward for prayer, and there was this man that I didn't know that came forward. And so I went to him and I said, what are you coming for tonight? And he said, oh, I'd like the baptism in the Spirit, please. And so I said, okay, just close your eyes. And I just placed my hands on his head. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came down on him and he exploded, speaking in tongues and praising God. He was crying and power of God was all over. Down after quite a while, I said, wow, you really got visited there. He said, yeah, I needed it. And I say, what's behind this? And he said, well, I heard about this baptism in the Holy Spirit thing. I live in Sydney, he said. And I heard about this baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I wanted someone to pray with me. And I didn't know anybody in Sydney. I mean, 3 million people. Didn't know anyone in Sydney who could pray for me for the baptism in the Spirit. But I heard that up in Brisbane it was all happening. And so I got in my car and I drove to Brisbane looking for someone who could pray for me. 1,000 kilometres thirsty. Can you imagine what he was like when he finally got out here and I put my hands on him? Because he was thirsty. And because he was thirsty, he was prepared to do the 1,000 kilometres. See, when you're thirsty, you'll do things that you'll never do when you're not thirsty. Yeah? So being filled with the Spirit, it really starts there. So then there's this great debate, you know, of what's the clear evidence that a person is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, so someone will say, oh, well, it's got to be gift of tongues. Well, you know, that's an initial indication. There's no doubt about that in the Acts of the Apostles. All the people that are said that have recorded being filled with the Spirit ended up speaking in tongues, all of them, with the one exception of Acts chapter 8, the Sumerian converts. But it was so, whatever they experienced was so powerful that Simon the magician wanted to buy the power off Peter to be able to perform that. So there was no mention of tongues there, but I can tell you, what he saw and heard, he was prepared to pay for. So there is strong scriptural evidence to suggest that the gift of speaking in tongues is a clear indication. But I'm talking evidence here. I'm not just talking indication. How can you really say that person is filled with the Holy Spirit and that person is not filled with the Holy Spirit? You say, well, that's a bit of a judgment, isn't it? Well, you know, if there's no fruit to it, if there's no evidence of it, then how can you say the contrary? I mean, have I got that right? I mean, I'm a pretty simple sort of fella. But to me, I mean, if there's the clear evidence of it, you can state it, and if there's no clear evidence, you've got to put it into question. Spirit. Let's go to the next verse, verse 38, because it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now listen, folks, this is Jesus saying, talking about receiving the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of it is not somebody who can speak in tongues. The evidence of it is living waters, rivers of living water bursting out of his innermost being. You see, so this is where Jesus is making it very clear he's looking for river Christians. He's not looking for creek Christians. You know, creek Christians. I've even put a third category, trickle Christians. I mean, I don't know if we can get any less than a trickle Christian, but... you know what a creek Christian is? I had an experience that showed me what I call a creek Christian. Denise and I moved up when we got back from overseas in 2020 after being away for 34 years. We had to renovate our house in Adelaide. We did that, sold it, and moved back up to Brisbane. We're Queenslanders. And we had to drive with our stuff in the car from Adelaide up to Ipswich, where we were staying before we would buy a house here in Brisbane. And so it was a remarkable trip. It took us 3 days. We didn't rush it. But we drove up through outback South Australia. And South Australia did not get the rains that summer, the summer of 2021. Did not get the rains. And the whole of that outback drive was dry, 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 dry. And we would go past the creeks. There were the bridges, and you could see the creek beds, and they were dry, they were empty, they were dust bowls, there were not even weeds in there. There was no life. It was hard to imagine that there was ever any water there at all, at any stage. And then we crossed over into New South Wales, back of Bourke, and they had had the rains. Honestly, I felt like I was driving on a golf course. Everything was so green. I was thought, Bourke's got a reputation out that back, Broken Hill and Bourke and all of those places. And I thought it would really be dry and barren and a desert. And nothing like it. It was all green and beautiful. And the creeks were full to overflowing. Couldn't believe it. What a contrast between the two. And then we hit Moree, and the creeks were so full that the place was flooded. So we had to find a way around. We had to back off one time and then find a way around and then change our plans. And then the thing that struck me the most is that both in South Australia and in New South Wales, every time we passed the creek, there was the same sign that said creek. And I thought, wow. You mean you can call it a creek and some creeks have got water? A lot of it. And some creeks have got nothing. And he still creeks. And I thought, I don't want to be a creek Christian. Because creek Christians have good days, but then they have bad days too. But when you're a river Christian, you don't dry up. You don't have to worry about one day waking up and finding that the Brisbane River has dried up.
That's right.
I mean, it might go down a little bit if there's a drought. But there's water. There's an abundance of water. There's a flow of water. There's a river of water. There's a river of life. You see, river Christians. That's what Jesus is after. Christians that overflow with river. That rising up within their lives. It's the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You see, the fullness you see because it's so different from lack of fullness. It's a Christian that you kind of think, wow, I'd like to become like him. When I'm with him, I just feel more godly. I just feel closer to heaven. I feel that he's shown me what I want to be. You see, that's the kind of abundance that there is, the overflowing of the Christian, see. It's something that is more than just your basic Christian life. It's when I say basic Christian life, this is so much more. It's the rivers of water. It's the river of love. It's the river of joy. It's the river of goodness, of generosity, of boldness, of faith. It's a river.
Amen.
It's a river. It's a river. Have I told you before that I like TV ads? I think I have, haven't I? Yeah, I do. I do. And there is a reason for it, because those ads actually cost a lot of money to make. And there's a lot of research that goes on in those ads about us, consumers. And so all that work was going to help me to know how to reach people. You see? So I have a close look at ads, because that tells me how I'm going to be able to reach people. Not to sell them a product, but to reach them with a message. And there's a couple of them at the moment I particularly like. I like the Cadbury ads. Yeah, you seen the Cadbury ads? I don't particularly like Cadbury, but, you know, I like the Cadbury ads. You know, and that father that comes and he's just filled up his tank of petrol and he goes to the checkout to pay for it, and then there's this young woman there and she's not looking too friendly. And he sort of asks to buy a packet of a block of Cadbury's chocolate, and so she gives it to him and doesn't hardly look at him, and he pays for it, and then he walks off, and so she says, "Oh, he's left his chocolate here. He's paid for it." So she calls out to him and she says, "Oh, you left your chocolate." And the guy looks at her and gets back into his car. And as he gets back into his car, the girl says, "Love your dad." It was his girl. They were obviously in conflict. And he just wanted to say, "Look, I'm still your dad. And here's your chocolate." I just love that, Ed. I just love that, you know. I love the Hyundai one, you know, where the guy sort of looks at the camera and he says, what does it say? He says, don't something or other if you've never tried it. Have you seen that ad? He says, "How do you know?" Thanks, Denise. She likes ads too. "How do you know?" No, she doesn't like ads. "How do you know if you haven't tried it?" And I thought, that's right. That's right. How do you know? I said, God just spoke to me. Through Hyundai. How do you know if you haven't tried it? I better try it. Try it. There's other ads I don't like much. You know, "Shut up and take my money." There was an ad on French TV a few years ago. It was for potato puree. You'll understand where I'm going to with this. Potato puree. And it was an ad using the story, the fairy tale of the Beauty and the Beast, you see. And so the focus is on the beast. He's really not very nice looking. I mean, he's really hairy and he's sitting at a table and he's growling and he's grunting and, you know, he's waiting for his dinner. He's hungry. And then there's this pretty girl comes along. She's the beauty, you see. Beautiful girl comes along and she's got a bowl of potato puree, you see. And so she says, "Look what I've prepared for you." "With love," she says. And she puts it in front of him. And the beast, still no thank you or anything. You know, and he gets a spoon, digs into it, eats it. And suddenly, he becomes a handsome prince. When I saw that, I said, "Denise, you got to get me some of that stuff." And I thought, I mean, you know, you'd like to take a gun to the beast, wouldn't you? And here's this beautiful girl that comes up, you know, and she puts up with all of this stuff. And she says, "Look what I've prepared for you with love." Oh, God, if only I could do that. Why? Because it's just an overflow of love. It's love when it doesn't deserve it. It's love that when you should never give it. It's love that is only available for the unlovely. Oh, that's Holy Spirit love. It's not human love. It's not even kind of Christian fellowship. It's godly Holy Spirit love. Oh, and I tell you, that's what one of the things I love about this church is that we can love people who normally can't be loved. And I mean, that's impressive. It really did something for me, honestly, to come to this church. Now, it was quite confronting, I must admit, initially. It was confronting to be faced with people from all different backgrounds, some that have come out of addictions and everything else that goes with it. And it really put pressure on me to say, how much can you really love? How much can you take people in your arms and hug them? And I can tell you, I'm doing better than what I used to do. I'm doing better. I'm learning to live as a river Christian. Hallelujah. I'm learning to live as a river Christian. How about you? You see? And so So there he said, well, the fullness, we're talking about the fullness, living in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If you take an empty glass and you fill it with water, at what particular time can you then confirm that now the glass is full? At what particular time? It's only when it overflows. Because if it doesn't overflow, there is a certain doubt about whether it's full or not. And so it's the overflowing of these things, the overflowing of the love, of the joy, of the faith, the overflowing of the boldness, of the generosity, of the goodness. It's the overflowing. It's when it flows out. You see, sometimes I think we've got songs all wrong. Sometimes I think we've got songs all wrong. You know that song we sing, pour it out, and we're singing to God, pour it out. You know that sing? We sing that song, don't we? Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. Pour your spirit out, pour it out. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. And God's in heaven singing the same thing. Pour it out, pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. So which one are you singing? Look at the mirror and sing it to yourself. Pour it out. You say, God, do it. And he's saying, I've done it. You do it. I mean, how much more of the Holy Spirit do you want from me? I've given you everything. I mean, there's not a fourth person of the Trinity. I've given you everybody up here. But, oh, God, there's got to be more. Nope, there's not any more. I've given you everything. Right. Handle it. Amen. This is always, you know, God's holy day, if you read heaven. I mean, there's such a projection of great things tomorrow. God's holy day is today. And he's given us everything for today to be everything that he wants it to be. And that's called faith. And that's called faith. So anyway, got that off my chest. Got to be thirsty. If you're thirsty, you come. If you come by faith, you got to come by faith. You got to come by faith. It's not kind of like, you know, no, it didn't work. It's coming by faith. Faith receives. And then you drink. You know, a lot of people say, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. And people say that. If God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. When Paul found John's disciples, he didn't say, he said this, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? Have you received it? Not has God given it, he has given it, but have you received it? That's the drinking. You can look with thirst in your heart, with thirst in your throat, you can look at a glass of water, but you can look at a glass of water for a week and you won't drink a drop. It's not looking at the water. It's not admiring the water. It's reaching out and taking it and being active in the act of drinking. If God wants me to have it, he'll give it. Oh, no, if you don't want to receive it, you won't. That's what we should be saying. It's receiving. That's the key. And so being continually filled, that's what Ephesians 5, verse 18, be continually filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because have you noticed that life can tend to make us unspiritual? Have you noticed that? Or am I the only one? You know, things happen and you go, and suddenly when you go, you don't feel too spiritual, do you? No, you sort of feel very natural. But God understands that. And that's why he says you've got to top it up. Top it up. Top it up. Top it up. Get more. Get more of that Holy Spirit. Beautiful world. Filled. Filled. Oh, filled. Filled to overflowing. Hallelujah. I was only 19 years of age. And I was in a prayer meeting in Sydney that I'd started with a Catholic priest, actually. And it was supposed to be a charismatic group, but it wasn't really flying high, you know. And I was not filled with the Spirit, but I was very fascinated to hear somebody murmuring in tongues. I think I just heard some. And anyway, we went down to Canberra for what was called at that time the Temple Trust Conference. And the speaker was Ralph Wilkerson. I think it was from Melodyland in LA. Not to be confused with David Wilkerson. And I sat there. I mean, we arrived a bit late, and I walked in, and I was just amazed as I saw people worshiping God, hands raised, faces lifted, glowing, radiant. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, this is so beautiful. I have never seen this. I've only seen what was heavy and solemn and serious. And I have not seen this. This is beautiful. This is the Holy Spirit. This is what I'm wanting for my life. And I'm hearing this guy speaking, and I'm saying, come on, finish your message and pray for me. Finish your message and pray for me. And I'm thinking, how long is this thing going to go for? I need prayer. And I got to the stage where I was so worked up about it that I was going to walk straight down that center aisle and stand in front of the pulpit and say, pray for me now. And I thought, all right, here I go. And then I backed off. And I thought, might leave it to later. And then I heard the preacher start talking about the baptism of the Spirit. And I went, and he said, and at the end he just said, all those who'd like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, put your hand up. And I put my hand up. First one to go up. And he just led us in a simple prayer, quiet prayer. It was not demonstrative. It was not showy. It was just so beautiful. And I lifted my hand and I was just praising God. Let's just praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And before I knew it, I was speaking in an unknown language. I didn't know what I was saying, but I was just saying it and saying. And a pastor came over to me and he just laid his hands on my head. And someone told me afterwards it was Norm Armstrong, very well-known evangelist in those early years of Pentecost, an old man who's gone now to be with the Lord. And he just placed his hand on my head and I was just filled with the Holy Spirit. And then when I went back to my room where I was staying, I think I'm filled with the Spirit, I think. I think I spoke in tongues tonight. And so the next morning I woke up and I had a bit of a doubt. And so I got in front of the mirror and I said, I'll try again, see how it goes. And so I spoke in tongues and I saw myself speaking in tongues. I saw myself. And I thought, yep, still there. And ever since then, that was 1974. I've been speaking in tongues. How many years now? 49 years. Is that 49 years? I still haven't understood a word. I've been praying, worshipping in tongues, and I still don't know what I'm saying, but I know it's God, and I know it's for God. Beautiful. Fullness. Some of you here, you really have backed off on this issue. Maybe some well-meaning Pentecostal people have tried to push you around and force you to speak in tongues. I want to really reassure you, not my style. All I'll do is help you to get over the hang-ups so that you can receive. That's all I'll do. I won't force you. That's why Wednesday night I'll be tackling the troubleshooting over these questions. But Denise and I normally sit up the back. And the reason for that is because it allows me to be connected with people who come for the first time. But I do see what goes on in the whole congregation. And I am surprised how often I see people totally non-expressive in times of worship. Looking around, totally disconnected. And if that's the kind of thing you do, please don't accept that, because it's not God's best for you. I can guarantee you that. I mean, some of you, perhaps you'll take offense of what I've just said, but don't be like that. It's God. It's God's presence. It's God's spirit. It's holy. Please don't be indifferent. If you're going to come for a time of worship, don't be a spectator of other people's. Be prepared yourself to come and to drink and to get involved with God, so that you will not remain where you are, looking some like a totem pole, arms crossed, expressionless in the presence of our God. And so I'd like to teach you a little song. I like little songs. See, there are no words, no musicians, just a little song. It's a prayer. Just a prayer. It's a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Some of you may know it. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Let's stand together. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Can I ask you, how many here have never really spoken in tongues? I'm not going to ask you to rebuke you in any way. It's to help you. If you've never spoken in tongues, would you just please put up your hand? Just let me see where you are. And say, quite a few people. Quite a few. Yeah. If you've never spoken in tongues, okay. If you'd like to be released in speaking in tongues and to receive that gift, would you please come out and join me at the front? I'm not putting any pressure on you, but if this is, you're thirsty, you really want this, then I want to invite you to come and out the front. Perhaps we can get rid of the pulpit and thank you. Just come on out. Just come on out. No embarrassment about this. Just in a very, very simple way. If you'd like to receive the gift of speaking in tongues and worship God in tongues and praying in the Spirit, just come on out. That's right. It takes you sometimes a little bit of courage to build up before you can come out, but could you just come right up here, right around me? You just come right around me. Come around me. Come on. If anybody else would like to come. Now, perhaps as we're praying, then some of you might sort of feel, I need to be there too. I need to be there too. Now, can I ask, how many people have spoken in tongues but don't have much assurance about that, and you don't really, you don't confidently move in the Spirit speaking in tongues and praying and worshipping in tongues? You might have spoken in tongues, but you don't have much confidence and assurance in tongues. Just could you put up your hand if that's you? Could you just put up your hand right up there? Okay. I'd like to invite you to come around these folk. Just come and add yourself, join yourself to these people. We're doing it in a very simple way. No big build-up, no hype. Just come on up. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. Don't be ashamed of this. You know, perhaps it's a bit humbling experience, perhaps. Yeah, I can understand that. But humbling doesn't do us any harm. Humbling doesn't do us any harm at all. Yeah. And if there's anybody that feels that they really do need a renewing in the Holy Spirit, and you've sort of let it go a little bit, and you need to be really renewed in the gifts of the Spirit and your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the speaking in tongues, then I'd like you to come out the front and join and come around these ones here. Just step out of your place. You feel you need topping up, you need a renewal in this whole area, then just come and join yourself to these folk. Just, all right. Yeah. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Could everybody just look at me, please? Is there anybody that's come out the front that has not yet given your life to Jesus and that you wouldn't really be sure that you're a committed Christian? Because that really is your very first step. Is there anybody here that's never really done that, that you have not made a commitment? Have you already given your life to Jesus? You haven't. Would you like to do that this morning? Yeah? Really? Okay. Wow. What's your name?
Grace.
Another Grace. We got heaps of Graces here. We love Grace. Yeah, we love Grace in this place. Yeah. Is there anybody else who has not given their life to Jesus? And you would like to do that? You would like to give your life to Jesus? What's your name? Jennifer. Jennifer. That's it. Yeah. You got a biggest clap as Grace. Is there anybody that hasn't? And you, this whole service, God's got your number. And you know that you've got to do something about that today. And you haven't given your life to Jesus, just put up your hand. Because I need to pray for you too before we go any further. Is there anybody that's come into this place that's not given your life to Jesus, but you know in your heart you need to do that? Anybody else? Okay. Come on, Grace. Come on, Jennifer. Come to me here. Hey. See, you girls are the beauty. And I'm the beast. No. No, I'm the handsome prince now. I've been eating the soup. All right. Isn't this beautiful? Beautiful moment. This is Grace, everybody. And this is Jennifer. And have you come with Emma?
No, I met Emma here.
You met here? How did you get here?
My partner.
Who's your partner?
Here when he was a teenager. He's in with the kids today. Oh. So I don't usually make it to this part of the ceremony. I don't know. Sorry. I don't usually make it to this part because I'm in with the kids because I'm very new to religion. But yeah, I'm having trouble connecting and yeah, I just thought I need to be here today. And yeah. Then you spoke.
How did you get here, Jennifer?
My friend Josh.
Yeah, Josh. Which Josh?
Josh the rocker. He gave his life to Jesus just a little while ago, a few months ago. And we baptized him here. Great gun guy.
He's beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, girls, let's just close our eyes, shall we? I'd just like you to pray this prayer after me right now. Lord Jesus, I've got everything to learn about you. But one thing I do know is you love me. Many years ago, you died on a cross for me. Please forgive me for all the wrong I've done and set me free from all the evil that's been done to me. From now on, Lord, I want to live for you. Teach me how to obey you and follow you every day of my life. Help me to learn to love you with all of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now keep your eyes closed, girls.
Let me just pray for you.
Jesus, I just pray for Grace right now. What a beautiful name she has. So meaningful. And now, Lord, she's receiving grace. Your grace, amazing grace. Just touching her life and letting her be born again. A real miracle taking place within her life. A miracle taking place right now in this very moment where you are taking out her old heart and replacing it with a new heart and putting in it, Lord, just the fullness of your love. The fullness. Her life has begun today. Her life has really begun today with Jesus in her life. And I pray now for Jennifer. Lord, she has heard about you. She knows others who know you, and today she wants to live for you. She has prayed the most sincere prayer a person can pray. She prayed it with all of her heart, and you've heard her prayer. And now Jennifer has become your daughter, your child. She's yours, Lord. She has placed her life into your hands. And we thank you, Jesus, for your love. Amen. Amen. God bless you, girls. Couple of twins. You can just go back to your place. And now, folks, if you want to be part of this, then please stay. It's not going to last all afternoon. I can guarantee you it won't be long. If you need to go, please feel very free to go. Officially, the service now is finished. And this is the after service now. And as I said, we won't go long, but if you would like to be part of this, then I'd like you to come closer to the front and come closer and seeing what you're doing. If you're up the back or sitting halfway down the seating, then come on up and be part of this. Okay, guys. Have you got faith in your heart? I got faith in my heart for you. Do you know all those people that have never spoken in tongues? Well, very soon you'll be speaking in tongues. You can stay there, Grace, if you can. You have to go. Okay, the most important thing, you've done it. No. That's great. You feel free to go. We love you, Grace. Yeah, we'll see you next week. We love you, Grace. Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Those of you who've only spoken a little bit in tongues, come on, let's not settle for the trickle. We won't settle for the trickle. The river Christians. Yeah. River fire. Hey, that rings a bell. I've seen an ad about that. Let's just close our eyes right now and pray. And I'd like you to pray this prayer after me. And after we've finished the prayer, we say amen. And as soon as we say amen, that's the end of praying with any language that you know intellectually. We will no longer speak in English. We will no longer speak in pidgin English. We will no longer speak in Afrikaans. We will no longer speak in French. We will no longer speak in whatever other language you might know, Italian. We won't say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah 20 times. We won't just simply say Jesus, 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 Jesus. We will really trust that the words that come out of our mouth that we do not understand, it will be our vocal cords, it'll be our lips, but the source is the source of the river, the Holy Spirit in you. Pray this prayer after me, because right now the Holy Spirit's already resting on you, on you. The Holy Spirit's resting on you, resting on you, resting on you, resting on you. Pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. You are my Lord. I am totally given to you. I thank you for your love for me. That you are a God who gives. And you want to give to me today. Holy Spirit, I love you. I love your work. I love the way you move. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me now. I receive you. I receive you. I receive you. I receive you in all of my personality. I receive you in my emotions. I receive you in my thoughts. You know, I receive you in my attitudes. I receive you. And I receive your gifts. And I receive the gift of speaking in tongues. Thank you for that gift. What a beautiful gift it is. And with that gift, I will worship Jesus. And I will adore Jesus with all my heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right, let's just begin to worship God in tongues. Just trust him now. Just begin to trust him. Just begin to speak it out. Don't wait for something to happen. Just believe that as you open your mouth and as you begin to speak out sounds and syllables, that that's really the Holy Spirit. Just